Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Higher Consciousness, and as always, I am so honored to have this opportunity to connect with you this evening. My name is Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am the host and creator of the show Higher Consciousness. And currently, I teach psychology at colleges, have a private counseling practice. I am a certified Reiki master, an energy medicine practitioner, a holistic life coach, certified aromatherapist, a certified metaphysician, and a radio talk show host living in the greater Atlanta, Georgia area, more specifically, Stone Mountain, Georgia. And as always, I state the reason for my developing the show. I wanted to have a forum for discussions about metaphysics, spirituality, holistic psychotherapy, holistic health, holistic nutrition, divine relationships, the law of attraction, divine prosperity, universal laws, and I also wanted to have shows to discuss political and social topics as well as educational topics. Shows on higher consciousness sometimes have guests, like we have this evening. And Higher Consciousness is a two-hour show that will allow listeners to delve into topics at a higher vibrational level. The only ground rule is that everyone gives respect when expressing opinions. This rule automatically raises your vibrational level so that you can receive respect as well. So, without further delay, I'm going to introduce tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is fostering positive self-esteem in our youth. And our guest this evening is Dr. Cheryl Holmes. If you would like to join us online, you can dial us by calling 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number, if you would like to talk to Dr. Holmes, is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. And for those of you who want to use the Internet, if you're on the switchboard and you would rather listen via your computer, type in http://tobtr.com/s/5278569. Again, the link is http://tobtr.com/s/5278569. And for Internet users, if you would like to talk to Dr. Holmes, you will still have to dial in 1-818-572-8023 and press 1 to join the discussion. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, this is Higher Consciousness, and I am Professor Jamila Franklin, And the purpose of this show is to connect with you on a heart-to-heart and soul-to-soul level. This is not a show for intellectual debates. Instead, this show is dedicated to those who truly want to learn and grow spiritually and to heal. Last week, we discussed Peace Be Still, the series, part one, with yours truly, Professor Jamila Franklin. We had 6 live lessons and 10 callers. However, since last week, we have had 520 downloads, which means 520 people have downloaded and are continuing to download last week's program. And as always, I'm so very thankful to each and every one of you. And since the debut of Higher Consciousness, which was October 22nd, 2012, we have had over 37,426 listens, which includes live calls. And this is in only 10 months. So this means that we've had 37,426 people to tune in and to listen to the show. Also, remember, if you can't join us live, go to the website and you can hear all of the shows which are archived. As I mentioned earlier, last week we discussed the topic Peace Be Still, the series part one. And for those of you who are familiar with my work, I am, as I stated at the beginning of the show, I am a person who believes and practices metaphysics, and I'm a holistic life coach. I'm also a holistic psychotherapist. And my ardent passion is to help people heal their lives. And this passion led me to my dream career. I am a holistic life coach and psychotherapist with a background in holistic health, which includes aromatherapy, energy medicine, Reiki, and creative visualization, in addition to some other things that I do and in which I'm trained. And due to my passion, I had decided to launch a new series entitled Peace Be Still. And that series will highlight my thoughts, seminars, and workshops about peace, healing, and transformation. And I'm going to feature the series on my radio show. The first one aired last week, and I will have a part of the series each month, and maybe twice a month. And the reason why I decided to launch the series is that, in addition to my practice, I wanted to have the ability to reach as many people as possible, because in today's world, people are feeling overwhelmed due to stress and anxiety, and everywhere it seems that life is out of control, and events that are external, which means the economy and societal ills, are now controlling thoughts, which are internal. And regardless of a person's religious and or spiritual beliefs, the stresses are still present and appear dominant. Now, how do you get a handle on this situation? And how do you return to a place of tranquility and peace? How do you achieve a life of balance and harmony? Are there places that you can go where you can feel safe and not judged? Can having a successful life coexist with having a harmonious, joyful life? Most definitely yes. And in my own personal journey, I have discovered that it is very possible to have the peace that overrides the stressful thoughts and emotions that can be overwhelming. It is this inner peace that leads to greater spiritual awakening, unlimited wealth, perfect health, and harmonious relationships. And on Higher Consciousness, my weekly blog talk radio show, which airs, as you know, on Monday evenings at 7 p.m., provides me with the international platform to talk about these and other topics in a general manner. And I also now have set up a blog within my Facebook account. So if any of you are interested in joining my blog, my Higher Consciousness blog, just send me a request to my Facebook account, and it's Jamila Franklin, I think, 5, www.jamilafranklin.facebook, or if you just put in Jamila Franklin, it will come up and you can send me a request if you want to join. And for anyone who desires to have a private holistic life coaching session or private counseling session, I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you in person or via the phone or via Skype. And you can call me at 770-808-8051 to get more information about having any sessions, any counseling sessions. Now, before I bring on Dr. Holmes at 7:30, I just want to really reiterate what I discussed last week. I'm so very, very, very passionate about assisting people achieving their peaceful, balanced life. There are so many people, regardless of their professions, who are seeking inner wisdom and inner peace. And as you've heard probably on some of the shows, it is not a weakness for people to seek help outside of themselves, because Oprah has a life coach, Ayanna Van Zant has a life coach, the president has a life coach. Most people that I know, like I stated last week, who are very, very successful, understand that they don't have all the answers and that they sometimes will need to seek assistance outside of themselves. Because if you continue to have an internal dialogue with yourself and don't have a person with whom you can talk to balance that dialogue, it gets to be a little skewed and unbalanced. Because I've seen some situations in which people feel like they don't need to balance their opinions with others. And I've seen them really come up with some very unbalanced decisions to the point of almost being slightly paranoid, because they only are talking or listening to the thoughts within their heads. And sometimes those thoughts are not coming from a very balanced perspective. So, and you would never know that if you don't have a chance to talk to someone who is skilled and who can assist you on your journey. So I encourage people to check in every now and then, especially if you want to get to the next level. If people want to maintain and just stay where they are, then that's another topic. But if you definitely want to expand and enhance your life, then I would encourage you to talk to someone who can help you on the journey. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you are not capable of being very successful on your own. It just means that if you want to have a balanced approach about life, you need to be able to talk to someone who can assist you with that. And as I said before, I know of some situations where people are not having those discussions with people, and they feel that they're on track, but their perceptions and their perspectives are not balanced. And what ends up happening is that people then tend to avoid you, because in talking with you, the opinions become very opinionated, and they're not allowing anyone else in to voice an opinion that differs from theirs. And you would never know that if you don't have someone who is providing you with some outside consultation. Because, like I said before, excuse me, I think it's very, very important for us to have a balanced approach. And with people like myself I'm a holistic life coach, not just a regular life coach. And holistic life coaches are very, very committed and interested in making sure that you see the world from a holistic perspective. And what we do is we incorporate visualization, exercises, affirmations, breathing techniques. And I also incorporate tapping techniques as well, which is an energetic system which allows you to tap on certain meridians in the body to allow you to release stress from the body holistically and naturally. Because with holistic life coaching, someone like myself is very interested in having you come to a healthy place without drugs, and which only medicate and don't really solve the problem. So holistic life coaching, I think, is really, really important for people to consider, especially if you want to go to the next level, because there are so many things, so many stresses that people, quote-unquote professional people and career-focused people encounter. And sometimes you don't have anyone within your family that you can talk to, and you don't have anyone that has the skills that you can talk to. To talk to peers sometimes helps, but sometimes they don't have the expertise and the objectivity to provide you with the insight that's necessary for you to grow you to the next level. So, and coaching is the new, it's the new area that people now are pursuing. It used to be just counseling or psychotherapy, but now coaching is a faster approach in some instances to help you get to the next level, because for some people, they just need a couple of tools, and they can get there without doing intensive work, historical work, which is counseling. So I just recently heard of someone, learned of someone, who went to another country and to honor her grandson who had transitioned. And when she was there, she had a brain aneurysm and she had a stroke. And she died. She died suddenly. And I'm hearing about more and more people who are having hypertensive episodes and who are having strokes because of stress. And so, and stress is a silent killer. We are becoming more successful and people are dying faster because they're feeling overwhelmed. And what they're doing is they are silently trying to really cope with a lot of stresses that they are experiencing. And on the face of it, it seems like, you know, you may be doing okay. Everything is moving along pretty smoothly. But you can tell when people are not able to handle certain kinds of stresses because their body tends to experience certain things in terms of hypertension, in terms of ulcers, in terms of aneurysms, in terms of strokes. These things are on the rise now. I mean, within the past month, I've heard of several people who've had strokes. And it used to be something that you would hear about when people were like in their 70s and 80s, but people are now having them in their 40s and 50s and 60s. So it's becoming the silent epidemic. And we need to really pay attention to it. So someone like myself, who's a holistic life coach, looks at the reasons for your having aneurysms or strokes or hypertension or any of the diseases, because there's a book called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And she did an excellent job in terms of seeing the energetic causes for most of the diseases at the time in which she wrote the book, which was in the 80s. And they may have an updated version of it. But in looking at the book with my clients, when they come to me with different kinds of concerns, the book is very accurate. It tells me the energetic reasons. And what happens is that with holistic life coaching, I look at the true cause. I don't just treat the symptom. Because when it hits the body, as I mentioned last week, that lets me know that something has been going on within your emotional and mental bodies for a long period of time, and it had not been addressed. And if people are very, very intense, you know, very, very serious and very focused, there's nothing wrong with being serious and intense and focused. But if that's the personality trait, 80 to 90% of the time, the body cannot withstand that. It cannot tolerate that for years and years and years because it's under stress. And what happens is that the system tends to then break down, and then people tend to medicate. So we're finding out in places, universities like Harvard and some other places are finding out that a lot of those symptoms can be controlled with biofeedback techniques. And I mentioned that last week as well. So for people out there in the listening audience, really consider having additional support. Having additional support does not mean that you're weak or that there's something wrong with you. It just means that you know and you realize that you want to be on this planet a little longer, and you need additional assistance. And you need to be able to talk to someone who's skilled and trained in the area who can help you move through the maze called life. And life can be very enjoyable. If you're experiencing a lot of sadness and unhappiness and struggles and strifes with people, and you look up and every other week there's an area of concern, there's something going on. And it's not that the people that you're having issues with may not have some issues. But if you constantly are having these issues with different people, then the common denominator would be you. And so what I would do in my practice is ask, what is it within you that's attracting these unhealthy situations to you? Because if you are moving from relationship to relationship or from city to city and you see a pattern, then it's not the people so much, the common denominator would be you. And so, like I always tell my clients, it's not about blaming you, because blame doesn't really solve any issues. We then need to look at what is it in your life that's causing you to attract these situations that you say are unfavorable and situations that you say that you do not want in your life. So when you look at these situations, and you would then begin to see the pattern. And once you see the pattern, then you can break the pattern. But as long as you're not willing to look at the patterns, or as long as you're running from the patterns, then it would be an issue. So I encourage people in the listening audience to really do some self-inventory. Ask yourself, are there situations that you're encountering on a regular basis that keep cropping up? No matter where you are, you're attracting people who are not kind to you, or who are not supportive of you, or are racist or sexist or whatever. If that's a common pattern, then what is it within you that's attracting that? And what is it within you that's having you really, really draw that to you? But why is it really troubling for you? Why have you not been able to get a handle on a situation like I had mentioned earlier? So the goal tonight is for you to really think about that and think about how you want your life to change. And do you want your life to change permanently? And do you want it to be a transformative change? How do you want to heal your life? If you want to heal your life permanently, if you want to heal your life in a way that's going to be meaningful, and if you're on medication or drugs, I cannot tell you not to be on medication because I'm not a physician, but you need to ask yourselves, how do you want to transform your life and get to the next level? Because the medication will keep you stabilized, but it's not going to solve the problems. That's where psychotherapy comes in, or life coaching comes in. Those techniques help you solve the problem. So think about that, and as I said, the most successful people in the world now are deciding that they don't want to check out. Like Steve Jobs was over at Apple, and he died. A lot of these people are dying from illnesses that could have been prevented. I think he had cancer, but a lot of times now we're seeing that a lot of the cancers are, metaphysically, cancer is nothing but the cells eating away at the body. So now we're seeing the mind-body connection to most of the diseases, if not all of the diseases. And I think Dr. Oz is doing a phenomenal job in showing people how that they can heal their bodies and deal with their issues holistically using natural remedies without using medications. And he is a renowned scientist. So people are now paying attention. And as a holistic life coach and a holistic psychotherapist, I'm encouraging people and who has worked at a medical school for a number of years. I worked at a medical school for 6.5 years at Harvard Medical School, as a matter of fact, for 6.5 years as an administrator. So I have experience and know the parameters of medicine, and I know what they can and cannot do. And medicine now is beginning to really look at holistic approaches, because it was the holistic approaches first, and then medicine is the latest kid on the block, even though they try to have you think that holistic medicine is new and is folk medicine and has no merit. Everything in medicine came from holistic medicine, from the study of botany and plants and knowing how to use them, and so they just came up with pharmaceutical derivatives and substitutes for everything in nature. So they have it backwards now. So just really think about, ask yourself whether or not you want to have a life that is healthy, one that is balanced, one that is harmonious, one that is joyful, one that is peaceful. Do you want to change your life? Do you want to transform your life? Do you want to lead and live a life that is complete and whole? And if you do, then, as I said before, if you want to go to the next level, and when you hit a snag, really consider getting additional assistance. As I said, Oprah has a life coach. Yala has a life coach. The president has a life coach. Most entertainers have life coaches, because they know that they would not be able to do what they do without that, because it's so stressful. And they need to be able to bounce ideas and get structured advice and support from people who are trained in the field. So really, and look around to see people in your family. Do you have people in your family who are having diseases and who are dying from stress-related diseases? And everything, 85 to 95% of the diseases are connected to some kind of stressor. You're either eating foods that are not in agreement with your body, which are stressing your body out. And a lot of people are eating foods that contain wheat, which contains gluten, which is causing stress on the body because the body is very allergic to it. Gluten or corn or wheat, those are known allergens. Or you're thinking thoughts that are stressing you out. You know, you're on a fast track, or you're in relationships that are stressing you out. Or you're unhappy and you're depressed, and that's stressing you out. So the body is under stress. And when you isolate, and I've seen people who do that, when you isolate yourselves and don't talk to people who are trained, and I see people who talk to friends who don't have the expertise to help, that's fine to get it off your chest. But then when you really want to talk to someone who can provide a professional assistance, then I encourage people to look for someone whom you feel is in alignment with your beliefs too. Don't just go to anyone for assistance. Just make sure that that person's beliefs and philosophies are somewhat in alignment with yours, because if you're going to someone who is not going to help grow you to the next level and is going to condemn you, you may as well not go in for life coaching or counseling or whatever assistance that you're seeking. And I see people go to churches that condemn them, which to me doesn't make sense. So if you're going to holistic life, well, they're not as many holistic life coaches as they are regular life coaches. But if you go into a life coach, see what his or her approach is. As I said, in my field, I'm a holistic life coach, and I look at everything. I look at the spirit. I look at the mind. I look at the body. It's a total approach that I use. And see if that feels comfortable for you. And if so, then look for someone with that background. Or there are life coaches who have a more corporate perspective, and they have a behavioral modification approach. They're just on the fast track to get you on track to where you want to be, but they don't deal with historic information. And that's what you want, then go for that. And then there are people like myself, too, who have a counseling background. A lot of coaches don't. I do. And with the counseling background, a degree in counseling, and they then can look at historical information. They're not only giving you fast tricks and tools to get you back on track, but they're looking at the origin, the historical cause for you not being on track to begin with. So just think about what your needs are, and then seek out the person who can best meet your needs. And again, my information is, my telephone number is 770-808-8051. And I'm going into a commercial break that gives you more information about my practice. And when we return, we will then have our discussion with Dr. Cheryl Holmes. Stay tuned, and we will be back in 60 seconds.
This is Professor Jamila Franklin, CEO and President of Oyende Enterprises, a holistic wellness company. We provide dynamic, certified Reiki and energy medicine classes and trainings, certified aromatherapy courses, metaphysics courses, life coaching sessions, and private holistic counseling sessions. For more information, call 770-808-8051 or go to our website at www.oyendeenterprises.com. That is spelled OYINDEENTERPRISES.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Greetings. Welcome back to Higher Consciousness. I am Professor Jamila Franklin, and tonight we have the topic entitled Fostering Positive Self-Esteem in Our Youth. And for those of you who were listening earlier, I was just giving information about the need for people to receive additional support in your life. So really consider the information. And for those of you who missed it, the show is archived, so feel free. And you can also call me at 770-808-8051 to get more information about holistic life coaching and my services. Okay, so I'll give you information this evening about Dr. Holmes. In 1987, Cheryl D. Holmes established education and life transformation services through which she continues to provide individuals and institutions with her expertise as a consultant. Her research and scholarship specializations are the following: education policy and practice, faith life practice transformation, and correlation between identity, encounter, and relationships. Dr. Holmes awarded the Patricia Barbers Harris M.A. Ph.D. Fellowship from the U.S. Department of Education, earned an M.A. and Ph.D. in sociology at Boston College in Massachusetts in 2005. From 2005 to 2006, Dr. Holmes completed a year-long visiting middle management administrative fellowship at Harvard University Youth Violence Prevention Center. In 2008, she received the Frederick Douglass Summer Teaching Fellowship at Kutztown University. As an educator, Dr. Holmes' passion is ensuring that there is a rich education legacy for future generations. Currently, she is a graduate student at Alvernia University, completing a master's in urban education. Her emphasis is on the following areas: literacy, educators as researchers, K through 4 special education certifications. Additionally, Dr. Holmes is currently assisting with the planning of the October 10th through 12th, 2013 Black Education Congress Conference entitled Reclaiming and Celebrating What Works, Passing the Torch. So, and Dr. Holmes is a good friend of mine, and without further ado, I'm going to bring in Dr. Holmes so she can give more information about her passion, which is educating our youth. Greetings, Dr. Holmes. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much, Jamila, for inviting me to serve in this way this evening. I'm honored.
You are. I'm very honored that you have taken the time away from your busy schedule to talk to my listening audience. And I just, children are returning back to school, I thought it was very appropriate for me to have you and then last 2 weeks ago, Dr. Maat, to talk about our youth, because I think what happens is that we get such a negative picture of young people nowadays. So what I wanted to do is just have people see the positive things, and as I said, the title of tonight's show is Fostering Positive Self-Esteem Within Our Youth. So, and I know that you are a powerful academician, but
thank you.
For the listening audience, the people who are not familiar with some of the terms in academia, how can you explain to them what you see the needs are for young people? And because you focus on K-4 and then above. So what should parents be looking for?
Thank you for asking me the question. It's a great place to start our conversation. What I would say is I'm going to speak about this not so much as a PhD holder, you know, one who has earned a PhD in sociology. Instead,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to speak from the position of a human being, an adult who
mm-hmm.
Knows what it means to be identified as the other, okay, not fitting in. I would say that adults who have children or are in the midst of a situation where they are responsible for one or more children must understand that they as adults, are the primary advocate for the child or children that they're in the midst of, whether they're in a paid position or they are in the position of a guardian or parent. That being the case, we need to understand that words either liberate or oppress. What
mm-hmm.
do I mean when I say that? There are words like majority and minority. Those words suggest that there are people who are better than or higher or lower than and less than. And for that reason, it's important to, in my opinion, to stray away from, to actually eliminate use of those terms unless you're dealing solely with numbers. I bring
mm-hmm.
that up because historically, individuals who could not pass for white, okay, in America and throughout the world, were identified as not equal to those who were identified as white.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself has a negative impact on the way, or has a greater possibility of having a negative impact on the way in which I see myself, we see ourselves, okay? And that causes a major problem often with the way in which a individual, regardless of age, we're speaking about children, so the way in which children begin to view themselves as it relates to being one of many in a setting, they tend, when you use the word majority or minority, if you are identified as the minority, you don't necessarily see yourself as being equal to or having the capacity to do the same as or better than those who might be considered the majority, okay? So
mm-hmm.
specifically, I would say terms like majority, minority, stepchild, okay, step-parent, those terms I would encourage individuals to stray away from and not engage in. Not use.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do everything that you can to ensure that you are assisting a child, a young person, a single person, to see themselves in the fullest, most positive, holistic way possible. I say this because the minute a child leaves your home and goes into a setting where you are not present for the duration of the time that that child, that student is in that setting, what you share with that child while they are in your midst is what they have to hold on to when they are in a setting that may not foster the same level of positivity.
So we
need to start by seeing ourselves, regardless of a formal education or not, okay? It is crucial that you see yourself as equal to and equally as important as the individual who you have released your child to for the purpose of being educated. I use the term educated versus taught. This whole process of being taught means teaching to a test, learning to complete particular concepts solely for the purpose of passing a standardized test. Passing a test does not mean that you are educated. It merely means that you have learned simple strategies for determining which multiple choice question to answer. There is a difference between that and being educated. Our ancestors have educated the world, continue to educate the world, and yet the world tends not to respect the fact that that's what we have historically and continue to do. Why do I say that? Right up until recently, I'd say probably within the last 10 or maybe 20 years, we've come to learn that Africa was actually the place where humanity began. Prior to that, you may have had some level of emphasis placed on the learning of history in public schools and what have now and has now become charter school movement. But since the fact has been verified that humanity has indeed originated in Africa, there is less emphasis on teaching history from a diverse perspective. That being the case, children come into a setting where they're taught to learn how to pass exams, but they're not educated to see themselves as a full, significant, viable part of a global society and therefore responsible for self and all those in that society, that global society. And we have to ensure that our children and we ourselves as adults begin to see ourselves or continue to see ourselves as lifelong learners. We should come to a point of considering the fact that if our ancestors, and indeed they did, facilitate viable learning and education throughout the world, then we need to be doing the same thing. We need to do that because we are a viable member of a global human community.
So I agree. I concur with that. How do people, well, first of all, you're talking about educating parents who have young children. First of all, I need to have a pretty good self-esteem themselves. So,
yes, indeed.
Because if they have these concepts in their heads about majority, minority, and all of this other stuff, which a lot of people do, then it's very challenging for them to impart this positive self-esteem within their children because it doesn't, because they don't have it. And that's one
that's
of the concerns that I have, because I think people spend so much time emulating models
status quo,
and things that
disenfranchise them to make them feel less than. So they're trying to walk around to look like people, regardless of race, trying to, you know, like Brooke Shields said, not Brooke Shields, but what's her name? Cindy Crawford said years ago, she wished that she could wake up and look like Cindy Crawford. She said, I'm airbrushed. So there are people walking around wanting to look like images that are not even real to begin with, regardless of race. So what do you suggest to people who are focused primarily on reality television, which does not support positive self-esteem? How do you get parents to take control to make their children feel good when they, the parents themselves, you know, are listening to, and I had a guest on my show a couple of months ago, to Beyonce's record, All You Bees Bow Down. I mean, crazy stuff. They're listening to Beyonce, so how can they impart positive self-esteem within their children when they have someone who's African-American who's calling women bees and they're bobbing their heads to that music? How can a child in that kind of environment come out of that with a positive self-esteem?
Well, let me say again, thank you for asking the questions. I'm glad we're in dialogue about this. Because sometimes, I could have all these thoughts in my head, but the thoughts may not be pertinent to or in line with what I really need to be talking about, okay? So that being said, I walked down the streets of Harlem 2 years ago, okay? It was the first time I had been back in Harlem, even though my first steps, I learned to walk on Lenox Ave, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I walked down the street, and much joy that I experienced because the folks looked like me, okay? There was one situation where I saw a black female pulling at and cursing out a child, okay? The child either wasn't walking fast enough or something was going on and the child was not in concert with the adult. And it grieved me to my core.
Wow.
Then, I spent 33 years in Boston, and I would ride public transportation. That was my primary mode of getting around. And I would, and of course, most of the folk who were on the bus routes that I took in Roxbury, Dorchester, Mattapan, they folks of color, okay? And the women, the young women, more young women than, meaning I'm in my 50s, so these were women and girls with children or with younger individuals using language that just totally tore me apart. So if it tore me apart, what did it do to the child that they were talking to? And I would say to you that the thing we need to understand is that the issues that exist in America are adult issues.
I like that.
And we are projecting them on to children because we know, just like generations, this issue goes back to just about the mid 60s, I would say, okay? Just as the civil rights movement was officially dying out, okay? Officially. It still continues, believe it or not, but on the official radar, right? It was dying out. It had for many people, it had done its job. All right? The job has never ended, but for the powers that be in the society, the masses had earned the level of rights that they were going to be allotted, okay? And it was time to regain control, okay? And how did the powers that be regain control? They began to reinstitute a divide and conquer amongst men and women. And they did that by ensuring that men saw themselves, particularly men of color, African American, Latino, saw themselves as disempowered by women. And women were taught that they were oppressed by men, okay? Not white men, not white women, but by the men and women in their environment. So it was a divide and conquer. And, of course, we know that the same thing was done on the plantation, okay? And it was what led to this brain freeze that I'm having. The only way white Europeans were able to establish what was the slave triangle, okay, from West Africa to Caribbean and then to America was through the same kind of divide and conquer, okay, deception. Well, as a people of color tend to be, American people of color tend to be more forgiving, more open to trusting external perspective. Anything that doesn't look like us, we tend to gravitate to it because we've been trained to, we've been socialized to. So we've also been socialized to see children as a problem instead of a joy, to see the opposite sex as diabolical instead of a compliment, okay? And we've bought into, as women, we've bought into the suggestion that we are oppressed by men, okay? And men have brought into the suggestion that they are henpecked by women, all right? Mm-hmm. When the reality is, we need one another, we complement one another, and the reason we're at odds with one another is because we are at odds with self. Mm-hmm. How do I change?
That's profound.
Please go ahead.
That's profound.
I'm saying some things, I'm sharing things today at 56 that it took me that long, 56 years to learn. Okay?
Mm.
I was socialized to believe that others were better than I was. My parents didn't say that to me, but they taught me that because they were taught that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've not talked to my parents about this. I'm telling you, I learned this not because my parents told me I was less than anybody. My parents told my brothers and I the exact opposite. But aunts and uncles interacted with me differently because I was not my father's blood child, okay? My parents never used the term step, okay? Never did. But my third grade teacher had the audacity to raise the question in the form of show and tell, why is your last name one thing and your family's last name another thing? For a third-grade child, that automatically causes confusion. It causes facilitates a life of confusion and internal turmoil. So no matter what my parents told me, no matter how my brothers treated me, I always felt like I was the one that had to do everything correct, and even if I did it correct, if anything was going to go down and anybody was going to be rejected or thrown out, it was me. Why am I saying this? I'm being transparent because I'm finally at 56 at a place where I know that I am equal to any other human being on this earth. Okay, but it took me 56 years to come to this point because of what was said to me by a third grade teacher, because of what was said to me by aunts and uncles, and because my parents were such that they did not speak out to my knowledge and set the record straight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There is a time when parents have to stand up and say, respectfully, my child is to be treated in such and such a way. And if they are not treated this way, you will have me to deal with. Now, how do you do that when, since the mid-60s, parents have been led to believe, working class and unemployed parents have been led to believe, that they are not equal to the administrators and the educators in the schools where their children attend? That's the crux of the problem.
Wow. My child
is first and foremost my responsibility. You work
mm-hmm.
on behalf, and we, not you, we work on behalf of this child and these children's behalf. And if we are going to do this, we must collaborate. Nothing, as my mother and father told me, nothing is more important from the time the child is born until the child goes away, until they're 18. Nothing is more important in that home than that child's development.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand that children at a very early age, they receive on a level of energy and emotion. Even before they're able to speak, they know what you're saying. They know what you're doing. They know if mommy
mm-hmm.
and daddy are arguing. They know if daddy is calling mommy a B and if mommy is calling daddy the N-word. They know
mm-hmm.
if the setting is safe or not. It's not, do you have a digital television, cable, cell phone, Nikes, Adidas, a fur coat, a Beamer, okay? It's, none of that matters. What
right.
matters is the home clean? Is the child, does the child feel safe? Is the diaper dry? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are mommy and daddy, are they, and the other siblings, are we sharing in a way so that we're safe? When
mm-hmm.
I learned these things, I began to have hope. I walked around for 33 years with an undiagnosed chemical imbalance. And no one, now, I it was important that this be the case because I needed to learn how to overcome in order to help other people learn how to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us it's my belief that in this society, each of us lives for the purpose of overcoming that others will overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't have to see the world the way you, Jamila Franklin, sees the world, but if we agree to collaborate for the better good, we will learn from one another.
That's so awesome and powerful. Let me just ask if anyone would like to join in our discussion at this moment. The number is, because I see people on the board, the number is 1-818-872-5023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. If you would like to ask any question of Dr. Holmes or myself, please feel free to call in and join us in this discussion. This is so powerful. And Dr. Holmes, before we finish, I'm going to take a quick commercial break because I don't want to interrupt part two.
All right.
Are you stressed, tired, need to relax? Peace be still. A natural, holistic aromatherapy blend is your answer. My name is Jacqueline Scott, and I have been a faithful user for years. For more information and to purchase Peace Be Still, a wonderful blend for the entire family, go to Amazon.com or call 770-808-8051 today.
Okay, welcome back. This is Higher Consciousness, and this is Professor Jamila Franklin. Tonight's topic is fostering positive self-esteem in our youth. And our wonderful guest this evening is Dr. Cheryl Holmes, who's giving us excellent information. Dr. Holmes is a sociologist with a PhD and a master's degree from Boston College in Boston University, Boston, Massachusetts. And she's sharing with us some really, really profound insights about what we can do as a society in terms of assisting our youth and helping them to become whole and well integrated in their consciousness. So, Dr. Holmes, please continue.
Well, I'd like to to shift for a minute and talk about a topic that a lot of people may not initially agree with. That is, there is a purpose and power for being abstinent, meaning not sexual while single.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would say this is not about, it's a life practice benefit, regardless to what your faith concept is, all right? Individuals who historically individuals who are successful are able to focus on a particular prize. They have a priority, and they don't allow anything to get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
When this is the case for entertainers, this is the case for scholars, this is the case for business people, and it is the case for athletes. The first thing we need to understand is our world, America, okay, is a highly sexualized, socially, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually violent setting. And those who excel and are successful internally, meaning within themselves, they have a focus, and it tends not to be sex.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
I'm sorry?
That's very true.
Okay. Now, historically, this topic amongst, the general public is not discussed. We have to get back to the basics. The basics are safety, physical safety, emotional safety, psychological and spiritual safety. That
mm-hmm.
happens by your deciding who you are, teaching your children to decide who they are and who they want to be, and
mm-hmm.
establishing, allowing them to develop with you a plan for getting to the goal, to the prize. And 9 times out of 10, it will not include alcohol, other drugs, anything that's going to lead to obesity, okay, nor
mm-hmm.
sexual promiscuity while single.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All of those serve as distractions. Now, I grew up in a home where I was the child that remained abstinent. I remained abstinent because I was born out of wedlock, and I did not want to dishonor my parents by ending up pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned was my parents were of the belief that all children were going to be sexual because they had been. Again, the issue is in what is in the mindset of the parent and guardian, okay? If your mindset is, oh, they're going to be sexual, that's just the norm, then you're projecting and placing them in the midst of danger unknowingly because you were taught through your own experience to believe that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But individuals who strategically prepare their children for excellence introduce the concept of abstinence as a position of power. It serves to ensure that you are not distracted and that you
mm-hmm.
attain your goal, that you have internal peace. The operative term to drugs is no. The operative term to sex outside of marriage is no. If you're not prepared to be a parent, then you don't need to be sexual.
Mm-hmm.
So I would share that. I would share that not as an old fogey, you know, old mm-hmm, conservative mm-hmm. perspective, but as a strategy for excellence.
And I think that's really, really very interesting. And I think that you're using a catchphrase that is very modern, because the old thing is just to say no and to abstain, and that doesn't work, because they wouldn't tell children why they should not engage. As a strategy for excellence, I think that's a very good counterpoint when they come up with other points, because I used to tell people that, you know, just saying no is not going to work, because everything in this country, as you stated before, is sexualized. I mean, they have video games that's sexualized. The little girls now look like baby Beyoncés or Britney Spears or Rihanna. They dress their children like miniature adults, and they're
overly
sexual. So
that's right.
It's interesting, because everything around them, and mommy and daddy are dressing them like mini-me's of them.
Right.
So they have to have the concept in their heads, like you said before, with your parents, they never told you anything verbally, but their nonverbal positions and the way in which they treated you spoke volumes. So if
That's
you're dressing your children like a miniature adult, and then you're telling them not to be sexual, that, to me, is an oxymoron. How is that possible? And then if you're having them engaged in discussions, or they know as much as adults, and then you're telling them to restrain or refrain from sex, and then you're allowing them to watch television and all these other things.
Go ahead. That's right.
That's a problem. So,
it's a problem.
The television is the babysitter for a lot of parents. They sit the children
right
in front of the television. And they watch everything. I mean, daytime television to me is like soft pornography. So
actually beyond soft at this point.
Yeah, it's so explicit. So
That's right.
And I'm like, well, in nighttime television is so explicit. I don't watch the show called Scandal. I just saw a commercial on it. I said, my gosh, it leaves very little to the imagination. So
that's true.
If you have these children watching these shows, and then you're telling them to faint, it's really more challenging now, because everything outside of the home is saying the complete opposite, and then they're dealing with peer pressure. So I think you raised a very important point. And I know someone personally, you know, they raised their daughter to be, and the father was a minister, and the mother was very religious, and they told their daughter, no. She ended up pregnant at 17. So, and then, you know,
but
discussion
see,
to ahead.
Say no. Forgive me, but let me interject and say to you, to say no, but to act out yes, okay, is as you say, it's a conflict of interest.
Yeah,
adults,
but they dressed her appropriately and everything. They were very firm in their household, but she was just a child who just wanted, as the older people say, wanted to be grown. And so she got out there because they said no, and she had no safeguards and ended up pregnant, because they tried to rein her in. But she was one of those young people. I mean, at 15, 16, you know, legally you can't knock them in the head. So it's just like she was just, and they didn't know. She was doing things behind the back because the father was a minister. So they were very adamant about, and their other children, they had two sons, and they never had children, you know, before they got married. But 17, she ended up pregnant. You know,
well,
and they did everything they could to safeguard against that.
I would suggest to you that there is, it's imperative to go below the surface, okay? There are times when, I come from a family of church folk, okay? And there are a lot of times when adults are not clear as to what the multiple layers of messages are that their children are receiving. There are times when I, as a child, received horrendous messages from specific female family members okay, and a couple of male family members, not to mention the horrendous messages that I was receiving in church, okay? Mm. Children are often preyed upon because adults are so busy in being, you know, adults, they're not safeguarding their children,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it's one thing to focus in on how they dress. It's another thing to actually be engaged with them to the point where they will share with you what's happening that's inconsistent with the way in which you are developing your child.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about being their friend. It's
right.
about being an ever-engaged, available, safe to come to adult role model.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and for generations, parents have been so engaged with the Joneses, whether it's in church or outside of church, that mm-hmm. children have basically been latchkey, even though
yeah.
you know parents were there physically, they may have been emotionally unavailable.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I say this because I come from a generation, a family where my great-great-great-grandfather was the founding pastor of my home church, and I was at my grandmother's skirt, you know, tail almost every time church was open, I was there, and I can tell you the things that were said, the hateful things that were said, okay, because folks didn't like, you know, the fact that I received the attention I did and that I was as adamant as I was as a young person about the way I was supposed to be. It went against
mm-hmm.
church culture.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be ready. We have to be ready. It's there's a scripture that says, and I don't want to get hyper spiritual, but it's not people place. It's not people that we have as an issue. We do live in a spiritual realm, both in the natural and there's a natural realm and there is a spirit realm. And there are powers, spiritual powers, that we are constantly engaged with or combating. And the question is, are we attuned to what's going on in our homes? There was a point in time, maybe 20 years back, where there was this concept about the digital divide, and you know how terrible it was because low-income families, typically those of color, didn't have computers in their home. This was around 1990-91. And I remember when I began to hear that, I was in my first year graduate school in 1991. I remember saying out loud, I do not agree with this concept. This concept is being promoted as a way of further tearing apart the strength and the core of family in
mm-hmm.
in Black and Latino communities. Our children do not need independent computers, independent cell phones, because that meant that they that the world had an additional level of access to our vulnerable children.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, instead of having a computer in a main setting, right, in an apartment or a home, children ended up with free computers in their rooms. Then the rooms ended up with locked doors or closed doors, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then they ended up having cell phones. And then the crazy, volatile, highly sexualized, perverted world had another level of access to our children that we didn't, because as adults, we tended not to be engaged. So instead
right.
of the television being the one that was babysitting, that computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then 20 years later, we learn, oh, pedophiles are pursuing our children, you know, and some of those pedophiles are actually in the school as teachers. And then our, you know, the alert buttons go off, okay? why am I saying this? We have to, again, begin to trust ourselves more than we trust the greater outer world as it relates to what it means to effectively train and develop our children to fulfill their greatest destiny, their greatest potential.
I think you've raised some very important and key points. And if anyone in our listening audience would like to join Dr. Holmes and myself, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. I think the points that you're raising now, Cheryl, are very, very important. And like you had mentioned earlier, that people do not need to be their children's friend. And
right.
Sometimes people are so busy trying to be liked and wanting to be liked by their children that they don't have appropriate boundaries. And so it ends up being an issue. And later on, with children, and I tell people, your children really don't want to be your friends. And when you don't set boundaries for them, I know of a personal situation of a father who befriended his son after he and his wife divorced. And the son, when the son became a teenager, he lived with his dad. And it became very interesting because the son saw his dad as his friend, his big brother. Called him by his first name, and they ended up getting into fist fights and all of that because the father did not set appropriate boundaries for his son. And to this day now, the son is having some issues because the father did not show him a model that the son could emulate to be a man and to be a father. He didn't have that role modeling. So in fostering positive self-esteem, I think it's really important for people in the listening audience to really hear this very powerful message that Dr. Holmes is expressing, because, you know, regardless of race, there are people out there now who are wanting to be their children's friends, and we're seeing the results of that. I think some people are really now pulling in the reins and taking control of their families, but at the same time I see people who are women who go into the clubs with their children, hanging out with their children, which is really inappropriate, and men as well. You know, I think it's really inappropriate because when you decide to have children, you are the parent. You're not you're not their friend. So in terms of wanting to be their best friends, when they become adults and you're an adult, that's different. But as you're raising children, and you're not wanting to make them angry, and you're allowing them to have their way like this father did with his son, it ended up being really interesting because the son to this day has far more respect for his mother who disciplined him than he did for his father, who is now deceased. His father's now no longer here. But so being their friends is not what children need. And also, just think, if you're 2 and 3 years old and you have an adult that's 40 years old, and you're controlling the adult, how scary is that? Here you are, this little bit of being, and you're telling them what to do. You're smacking them in their faces, and you're controlling them. That's a scary world because they're like, okay, I'm taking over, and children feel like this, even though parents think by allowing them to have their way that that's in the best interest of the child. No, if you're this little bitty person and you're controlling everything, that is completely scary. That's
scary
in the psyche of a child. And but people do it because one, parenting and having guidelines and structure is more challenging than allowing the child to do what he or she wants. So
that's right.
Fostering positive self-esteem, which you have alluded to, is that people need to feel good about themselves first. First of all, people really need to know who they are, like you said earlier. If you don't know who you are, then it's almost impossible to foster positive self-esteem within a child, because you have no clear understanding as to who you are, and that's one of the reasons why babies having babies is a real problem, because you haven't developed who you are as a person, as a young teen, and you're having these babies. So, and those are the ones that you see cursing their children out on the street because they don't have the patience or the tolerance, because they're children, and this little baby now that is walking and talking is no longer a cute little doll that you can dress up like a baby doll. It's now a person. Right. And you don't have the patience or the tolerance because you're young. You're still growing. So when I see that happening, I usually can tell that the person is not connected with the child. And usually they have the children. So having children too young, and the understanding and the worldview and the patience sometimes is not there as a result.
What I'd like to share here, after sort of in line with what you're saying, but also requires that we think a bit about the history of America, history of the world, actually. Correct me if I'm wrong, but long before, from the point of the pilgrims coming to America during the agricultural time, right? Young women were often married off at a young age. Okay, that occurred because there was a purpose, an identified purpose, which was to have the number of hands available for harvest time within the farm community. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, with our shifting from agricultural to more industrial, urban centers, cities. Okay, there became less need for all those small hands, all right? Mm-hmm. And what happened was there was a need for those small hands in factories. So prior to child labor laws being established, you still had people coming together, young women, typically a male older than her, coming together and having, you know, more than three children to a household, right? But there were two people there. The male was typically the one who went outside the home to work, right? And the female was identified as the nurturer. And years beyond that, you began to have women saying, I want equal access to the external world. And what was once a viable, responsible, valued role, i.e. mothering, right, and being a home, at-home spouse, at-home wife, became demonized, right, in the world, and you had women stepping away from that because there was no longer a value placed on being the at-home mother, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think at any time, and I could be wrong, I don't think at any time in the American culture was the at-home mother really valued for all that she really is. Mm-hmm. When the reality is, without an at-home mother, without an attentive mother, where are the children? Mm-hmm. Where is the household? Okay? Where is the husband, for that matter?
Mm-hmm.
Feminine nurturing has never really been valued to its fullest extent within American culture. And that is a problem. That is a problem. We have become, especially in the Northeast, more desiring of being like men, whether you're gay or straight, not an issue, more desiring to be masculine than fulfilling our full potential as women. Women are, for better or worse, the primary influence in any setting, whether it's spoken of or not. And the masculine gender tends to be, historically, this is not just a Christian concept, this is a human concept, tend to be more task-oriented and divide and conquer hunter-gatherer oriented, all right? And our society has become an imbalanced, complex, confused, angry mishmash of individuals not really clear on who they are and how they want to be. Again, whether gay or straight.
Mm-hmm.
So I raise this to say to you, what my parents married, my mother was 19 and my dad was 17, all right? And my mom had already had me before she married Mr. Simpson. Mr. Simpson married my mother. My mother, Mildred Catherine Simpson, and John Toby Simpson still are married. Why? Because when they were growing up, and as they became adults, there were less options. And relationship and marriage was valued. Since that time, now they're in their 70s. Since the mid-70s, we have pushed away from valuing monogamous marriage and come into a time of, hey, you marry for a minute, and if you decide it's not what you want, you leave it.
Right.
The question I raise is, what does that mean? Was it a relationship of benevolence, freely giving and taking based upon desiring the best for the other person, or was it an encounter in a setting called marriage, and an encounter versus, which is different than a relationship? An encounter is about, I want what I want, I get what I want, or I leave.
And then
so
I think
you say baby,
that's very powerful.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's very powerful, because if these two people who come together, and Iyanla has something, Oprah has something on this too, about fatherless sons and fatherless daughters, when women and men, but particularly women, when they go into these encounters, which are not relationships,
they
see that these men, and the men do the same thing, they have these encounters with women who are not, quote-unquote, lifelong mates, both know. And then they come together and have these encounters, and then the children come out of these encounters. How can you, it's so challenging then for these parents who do not remain together, because it's an encounter unlike a relationship.
Right.
To foster positive self-esteem within these children. Because you have two beings coming together who didn't really know what they wanted other than having an intimate relationship that was not built
on
a strong foundation to begin with. So
that's
if you don't know who you are as an individual, and then you come with someone, you connect with someone and have, and I love the way you put this, an encounter, is then you create, you copulate, and then
a
you
mess.
Create these children who come out confused, because the energy from the beginning was confused. So fostering positive self-esteem goes all the way back to each individual listening to this program to say, why am I in this relationship with this woman or with this man? Because the result, like you said, with in terms of young people being abstinent, each time you have an encounter, and if you're of the age of being able to have children, it's a possibility that a child can come out of this union. So if this is an encounter, do I want to have a child with this because it's an encounter?
That's right.
And if this is a
That's
relationship,
right.
it's a completely different energy because, you know, I'm big on energy. So when you have two
right.
people coming together to have, like, a sexual encounter, then they end up having these children who end up having issues because the energy to begin with was not of the highest vibration or thought. So,
that's right. No child is, forgive me for interjecting, but this is key that I say this point right here.
Mm-hmm, please, please.
What you do when you engage, okay, sexually, it may or may not be a mistake. But when a child is conceived, to consider that child a mistake is an adult problem that's projected
yeah.
onto a child. And that has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who we are. I don't care what our... See, our wealth does not start with dollars and cents. It starts with the way we see ourselves, okay? And
mm-hmm.
if I am truly in a healthy place in terms of the way in which I see myself, then the relationship begins with Cheryl.
Mm-hmm.
If I am in a healthy relationship with myself, then I will have healthier interactions with other people. For years, I didn't have healthy interactions because I didn't love myself.
Right.
I didn't view myself as valuable. I could see the value in you and everybody else in the world, but I couldn't see it in myself.
Right.
So I had encounters, calling them relationships. They weren't relationships because the people I interacted with didn't have my best interest at heart. And I stayed with certain individuals because I didn't want to be alone. Okay?
Wow, that's terrible.
So why am I, you know, I'm saying this out loud in
yeah.
this setting today so no one else, anyone who's hearing this, I want them to begin to say, oops, maybe I'm doing the same thing. Oops,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to start anew right now. The past is the past, but we can learn
mm-hmm.
from the past. The key is to accept on an honest level ourselves, for better or for worse, and then establish a trajectory, okay, and keep our eyes on the prize. Where do I want to go? 56, I am still being helped by individuals like yourself to focus in on building a better future, learning from my past. May no child ever again be called or be dealt with as though they are a mistake. What mommy and daddy did may have been a mistake, but what I became when I was born, when I was conceived, even before I was born, that was not a mistake.
Mm. Wow. That is
powerful. For people, forgive me for being passionate and pushing forward with this, but there are people who are listening that need to hear that they are not a mistake. They are not a mistake.
That is so
true. They are not a mistake. And on behalf of every person that ever treated you like you are a mistake, I apologize for you on their behalf. It may be your parents. It may be relatives. It may be individuals that you attempted to engage with. Whoever it was, even if it is you, it started before you. And all you have to do is decide right here and now to forgive them because they didn't know any better and move forward, allowing yourself to see yourself as equal to every other person in the universe.
Wow.
Somebody might say, I don't have the money. I don't have the degree. Believe it or not, the grass is not greener on the other side. You are valuable. You are equal to me. You are born for a purpose. You must come to a point of understanding and accepting your reason for being born and fulfill that so that this world is a better place.
Mm-hmm. If you do anything other than that, you continue to perpetuate the problem way of interacting that humanity has established in America. We can stop mm-hmm. that now.
Very true. Well, if there is anyone who would like to talk to Dr. Holmes and receive her expert counsel about how to foster positive self-esteem within yourself as well as within your child, please, please call us at 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. I see people on the board. I see some callers on the board. And sometimes what I've been told is that people hear the conversations and they are so engrossed in the conversations that they don't want to ask a question. So I just want to let you know that there are people on the board. But I guess they're choosing just to listen to this wonderful message that you are and wisdom that you're imparting to the listeners. And the last thing you said that was just so wonderful, as well as everything else, but this was so profound. Just apologizing to people who have been told that they were a mistake or who have felt that mm-hmm. they were a mistake. Apologizing mm-hmm. on behalf of their parents who were never mm-hmm. able to say it, or the people who may have abused them or whatever. I think that that's mm-hmm. so healing for a lot of people, because mm-hmm. in my practice as a therapist, I've seen people self-medicate and do some other things mm-hmm. because they have felt that they were not wanted by one or mm-hmm. both parents or society. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I think that your message to them that they were not a mistake despite what their parents or others may have said to them, that the universe mm-hmm. is seeing them, God is seeing them as not a mistake, is so healing for
them. That's right.
This will be a turning point for a lot of people who are listening to this program this evening. And I think it's just so wonderful that you have shared your history and that you have also released people from feeling hurt and from feeling unwanted by saying that, because your statement may be the first time that some people have ever heard that. And I think when you said it, I said, wow, I could feel people listening and just being really affected positively by that. And I really thank you for sharing that and for empowering people, because that's and you're telling people how to deal with their children and having their children know that they are not minorities, or that they're not using negative mm-hmm. terms with their children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, like you said, children observe and they can feel the energy, even in the womb. If a mother is in a relationship that's not healthy, the baby will come out colicky and fidgety. They've done studies with that. So mothers and fathers, if you are having issues, and if the woman in the situation is pregnant, please work it out where the baby is not affected. Because the baby hears everything that you say. The baby can feel every emotion that this mother has. And they've done studies. So it's not just about you, as Dr. Holmes has talked about. It's not just about you. When you come into these situations, whether they be encounters or relationships, you have to, before you even get involved with anyone else, know who you are. And then once you know who you are and you then decide to co-create this wonderful being called a child, then you have positive information and foster positive self-esteem within children, because you feel good about you.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
I know of a person who is a wonderful person working on some of her issues, but, you know, she's cursed out all of her children and all that. I'm like, whoa. So it's like, you know, it's part of who this person is. But I'm like, I was so blessed and thankful that that never was my reality in growing up, because I can't imagine, because I've done energy work on people who have been called the N-word or who have been cursed at. And every time you do that, that's like someone taking a brick and knocking a person against the head. So parents, if you have children, please refrain from calling them words other than loving words. Even if they do something that's negative, they are not bad. Their actions may be bad, but they are not bad. They are not crazy. Their actions
that's
may be
right.
crazy.
Oh,
so
boy.
You separate
that's
the actions from the person. Separate
that's
those
right.
two. Because when you start
that's
labeling
right.
them as that, then they become that which you label them. And then you wonder why
that's
they're
right.
doing things that are that may lead them to have lives that are troubled. And it's because
that's right.
of the energy that they receive from you in utero, if you're pregnant and having discordant relationships. And also once they come out and you're calling them names. And I've told my students when I teach my classes, my psychology classes at the college level, I tell them, if anyone calls your name other than the name that your parent gave you or the name that you gave yourself or a name that's endearing, you don't respond to it. You don't respond to it. They can only call you that if you respond to it. You are not the B. You're not an H. You're none of those women.
No.
And men, you're not a dog. You know, he's my dog. No, dogs are on four legs.
No.
So those terms
and not
in the
all
N-word
men are dogs either.
No, they're not. They're not.
No.
None of them are dogs.
No.
I mean, they behave
none of them
in ways
are.
That are low vibrational, but they're not a dog.
Right.
And,
they're not
and
a dog.
Women are not
That's
bees
right.
and all of that. So when Beyonce came out with that record, I felt that that was really, really interesting that she would come out with a record that was demeaning to women when she talks about how good she feels about herself and whatever. I said, it's not what you say, it's what you do. So, and you're in a position like hers to empower and to elevate women and females, and to come out with a record like that, to me, it's just, there's no justification for that. So when we as adults, as you've said before, demean children, we need to get our acts together before encountering children. Not all children
That's
display
right.
positive behavior, but then you are the adult. So you have to
That's
know
right.
how to then deal with the behavior, because usually children are reflecting something that's going on in their world.
That's right.
It's
they
craziness
mimic
in
adult
the household.
Behavior.
Yeah, they're mimicking craziness in the household. They're reflecting something that they've seen. So, like I said, my mother never cursed at me, so I don't curse people. You know, because I didn't find it necessary. When I was a teenager, I used curse words every now and then. But, you know, no one can say, even when I get angry, you won't hear a slew of curse words coming out of my mouth, because I didn't grow up with that. So it's just like how whatever you see in your world, children would then emulate that. Using the N-word is completely unacceptable. You know, you don't call your children derogatory terms. They came from you. So their behavior may not be the best, but their behavior can change. So you don't call them that. That's not who they are. It's just a behavior behavior that's not the best. And in African societies, there was one African culture, I think it was in West Africa, when a child would misbehave, they would the village would put the child in the middle of the circle. And what they would say to the child is, remind the child of his or her name. Like if the name means child of God or whatever, they would say, this is who you are. And they would just tell the child how positive the child is. So the child then would be shamed into going back to the true nature of who he or she is, as opposed to telling them how awful they are.
Right,
you know,
right.
If you keep telling someone how bad they are, then they're like, okay, there's no need for me to do anything differently because, yeah, I'm bad. And they agree with that. And then they just start doing things that are low vibrational. And their parents ask themselves, how did this child become incorrigible? Because that's all you taught him or her. So if you want to have a child with positive self-esteem, like Dr. Holmes has stated, it begins with you as the adult. If they hear profanity all day long, from you, the adult. If they see it on television, if they see people having sexual intercourse in their teenagers, because at one time they were really highlighting all these teenage pregnancies. You know, there was a trend about for 2 to 3 years, teenage moms having these babies. And so it was like a bet. These young girls went out to get pregnant. And now they have these children, and now the children are being thrown away because they don't know what to do with them. So that became a fad. But if they see that in the household, if they see incorrigible behavior, like Honey Boo Boo on TLC, they see all that craziness. Mm-hmm. How do you expect for them to be different? You're the role model.
That's true.
We
as
adults are the role model. And they children
that's
don't
right.
look at what you say. They look at what you do.
They
so
do
you can,
look at what you do.
They look at what you do. You
that's
know,
right.
so they're watching you. And they don't have a job, people. Their job is to watch
that's
you,
right.
especially
when, that's right.
before they go to school. Their
that's
job
right.
is to watch us. So they watch
that's
every
right.
single thing that you do.
That's right.
And as Dr. Holmes has stated, they see the contradictions, like parents sending their children to church, but they don't go. I mean, that
right.
used to happen to me. I was like, if it's so good, Mom, why isn't she there? I mean,
right,
I used to ask
right.
myself, I couldn't ask her because that would have been disrespectful, and I knew better. But I couldn't understand why church was so good for me, but she wouldn't go. So,
right.
And parents would say, do as I say, not as I do, and I believe some of that is true. But you can't be smoking illegal substances, you know, partying
right.
all night, not going to work, and
that's
then you
right.
want your child to go to school. You don't want them to do
that's
drugs,
right.
but they see you doing it. So.
Right.
We have to be very clear, as you said, as an adult, or men and women, you're having all these multiple encounters, not even relationships. Every time they see
right.
you, you're in a it's a new uncle for the women coming into the house,
mm-hmm.
you know, a new man in your life around your children, or for the man, a new woman. So you're
mm-hmm.
teaching them certain things without saying it. You're teaching them
yes.
how
yes.
not to be in healthy relationships.
Right.
You know, you're teaching them how not to bond and to be monogamous. Your actions
that's
are
right.
showing them the complete opposite of what you're saying verbally. So I think what Dr. Holmes has talked about is very important.
If I
so in the last 13 minutes, well, really 15 minutes,
wow.
what would you like to share?
Let me say that it's important that we acknowledge that most American adults are very unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they unhappy? Because they were not taught to pursue, they were not taught that they were equal to all other people. There's a lot of divide, division, segregation, isms, various different isms, right? We
mm-hmm.
we have a society that's built upon deception, dishonesty, right? And and people were led to believe that if you receive an education, you will be able to pursue your dreams. And that has not proved to be the truth for most Americans. There are individuals who came to this country, and they thought that once they got to America, you know, it would be the place of the home of the free and the brave, right? Pursuit of liberty and happiness was what they were granted, had an opportunity to pursue once they got here, and they learned, oh, my goodness, that's far from the truth. The reality is, nevertheless, you have one life to live. The life that you live, you make choices no matter what's going on around you, at home or outside the home. As an adult, you make decisions every second of the day. So therefore, you are responsible for what the children hear, see, and experience in and through you. Never, never, never assume that because a school has a good name, that what goes on in that school is the best for your child and your children. The only way that children will excel, the best way to ensure that they excel,
is if you carry yourself in a responsible, reliable, respectful way, teach your children to do the same, and through your presence and in engagement at your school where your children are attending, that those who are adults in that setting are clearly held accountable for doing the same thing, being responsible,
right,
respectful, and following through on educating versus teaching to a test the children that you send to that setting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say. None of us is perfect. My parents
right.
weren't perfect. I'm not perfect. No
right.
human being is perfect, and we all have special needs. That's what it means to be human.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say learn who you are, learn your family, culture, and history. Find someone in the family that you can look to and say, oh, I really respect and honor what that person did, and strive for that and better within yourself. At the same time, establish a place of balance on a second-by-second basis so you can be the best person you are, not beat yourself up because of mistakes, because mistakes will be made,
mm-hmm.
and just move forward seeking people, places, and things to assist you to fulfill your purpose here on earth. That's what I would say. And again, Professor Franklin, I want to thank you for offering me the opportunity to participate in your program. It's been a blessing and an honor, and I hope that individuals received in a positive way what it is that I had to share. I really enjoyed our dialogue.
I am so, I'm almost like speechless because you've covered so many different topics and areas for people. I think this was just really, really so positive, particularly as parents are sending their children back to school, you know, elementary, middle school, high school, or college. And I think
uh-huh.
you've given parents, as well as I have college students, too, who listen to the show, you've given everyone a lot of food for thought, because I think people say positive self-esteem, and they don't really give it a lot of thought. They
mm-hmm.
hear it, and they think about it on a superficial level, and you covered
mm-hmm.
the layers. You went down to historical things in terms of generations back and where it started and how people need to be whole human beings before they have a relationship so that they don't have
mm-hmm.
encounters. To recap,
mm-hmm.
so that they don't have
mm-hmm.
encounters that lead to the creation of these little beings called children.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not whole when you're having these encounters, then you would call those children mistakes, as Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Holmes mentioned. They were, you would call them mistakes because you were not, it was just like it was an encounter. So
mm-hmm.
what we're asking people to do, like Dr. Holmes had mentioned earlier, that's why the thing called abstinence is important, because it's having people decide, who do you want to lay with and co-create with? And it's focused energy. Abstinence is so powerful. Even, and I know that there are people who are different ages who have had children, whatever, and they're not in relationships, and they're now choosing to be abstinent because they value their bodies so much that they're choosing not to have encounters with people anymore. They're choosing to view their bodies as sacred temples, and they're choosing to decide, because that's a powerful decision. You're deciding with your body with whom you will be intimate. That's very powerful, because you, when you become intimate, male or female, you have the possibility of co-creating a life. And even if you're beyond the stage of where you can co-create a life, it's still a powerful decision. It is your body, which is a wonderful temple. And so once you value yourself and see yourself, if you're male, you value yourself and see yourself as the wonderful being that that's the God, that Allah, that Jehovah, that the universe, whatever term you give to this presence outside of you, has created you to be as a male. And if you're a female, the same thing. If you really see yourself the way that the universe sees you and sees you as being wonderful and powerful and beautiful and just absolutely one of a kind, even if you're an identical twin, she or he would not have your same fingerprints. Once you see how awesome you are in this space called Earth, and know that throughout time there will be no one on this planet like you ever again, once you see how powerful that is, then you will cease to have encounters. Because you truly value and know who you are. And you say, I am too important and too precious, and I am made in the image of the Most High. I choose not to have encounters. I choose to have relationships. I choose to select the person rather than having her select me or him select me. I choose to select the person. So if you have two people selecting each other, that's a powerful union. He's selecting himself first, and she's selecting herself, but then they both are selecting each other. That's a powerful union, because you know I'm selecting you because I love me, and I know that you can be the best for me. You're not selecting me. I'm selecting you. So, and you know who you are, and if they don't meet certain criteria, you cannot have a relationship with them, and you seem to have encounters. So when you come together as a union and co-create this life, positive self-esteem is already there. That baby feels that energy. He or she senses who you are, and it can't come out but being a powerful being. And because you see that baby is your present and your gift, there's no way you can use denigrating terms, because you see that child is a reflection of you, and you know who you are, and you love you, anything that's a reflection of you is from the Most High God, so you can't denigrate it because it's a reflection of God. How can you do anything else but honor that being and love that being and feed that being the best food and the best mental, spiritual, and emotional energy? You can't do anything else but that. You won't then be walking a mile in front of the child and having the child follow you. You won't see the child as a mistake, because child was created with focused intention. You abstained until you saw that person who was a reflection of the Most High, who was at the same energetic frequency as you. And so then you know who you are, so therefore you create with focused intention. If you're not creating, if you're beyond the point of being able to create a life, you're still having an interaction, an encounter with focused intention, so it's nothing but love. Because that's the only thing. You feel love for you. You feel love for your mate. So therefore, when you get together, there's nothing but love between you. There are no denigrating words and terms. Like I said, my mother never called me those words. So I can't, when I experimented when I was in college or whatever, I played around with the words, because my mother never called me that. I played around with it, and it lost its luster. I now don't use those terms. I never use the N-word. But I don't use that. Yeah. I just swore because it's okay. Let me try this. But so what Dr. Holmes has shared, because it's 90 seconds now and we're ending, I think it's so powerful. Dr. Holmes, if someone wants to get in touch with you, what's your contact information?
I can be reached at my landline number is 484-648-4486.
Again?
484-648-4486.
Okay, and so if you want to contact Dr. Holmes, please call her. She's an invaluable resource. And for those of you in the listening audience, if you would like to invite her to be a speaker at any of your conferences or to talk to faculty and teachers, please give her a call. She's a researcher. She's an academic. She's phenomenal, as you could see. And Dr. Holmes, thank you. You're
thank
just
you.
Such a beautiful person, outside
Same
and inside.
To you.
I'm so honored to know you and to have
Same
known
you
for over 20 years.
Over
and
20
with that,
years, that's right.
Yeah, over 20 years.
Only
and she's
20
located
years,
in Pennsylvania. But if you would like for her to visit your faculty or give lectures, please give her a call. So until next time, have a wonderful week, everyone, and thank you for listening. Take care.
Good night.
From my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why.